The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope this message spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, if you have a Bible, keep it there in Psalm 90. I preached through this psalm last week, and we're going to dwell in it again this week together. As you know, it's the first Sunday of a new year. Ahead of us lie 12 months of possibility and potential. I don't know about you, I don't know what your sort of rhythms and rituals are, but one of my favorite things about a new year is a fresh wall calendar. I like to see all 12 months of the year at once, and so I have a huge wall calendar on my wall, and I get a new one every year, and I have a certain vendor whose style I like, and so I just get that new calendar every year. And so right now, it just got put on my wall a couple weeks ago, and it is fresh and clean and blank and waiting to be filled in, and I feel a lot of energy about conquering these next 12 months. I don't know what it is like for you rolling into the new year, and I don't know what rituals you sort of use to mark that. I think there are generally two ways people approach a new year, and roughly, for sake of approximation, let's just call them optimism and pessimism, okay? Some of you guys are optimists, and if you are an optimist about a new year, you like to emphasize the phrase new in happy new year, right? It's a new year. It's full of possibility. It's a chance to start over. The old is gone. The new has come. So let's set some resolutions. Let's embrace some new goals. Let's set out on a new diet or a new workout routine or a new book group. Whatever might stir up sort of a fresh sense of purpose in your life, this is our chance to hit reset and get a fresh start and give ourselves with renewed purpose to a new set of days. How many of you would say that you sort of are optimists when it comes to your lookout or your outlook about a new year? Okay, good. So a number of you. Then the other side is pessimism, right? And if you're a pessimist, you guys are laughing. You're like, I already know what this is going to be like. I know what I feel like, right? If you're a pessimist, you sort of think like this. It's a new year with the same old problems, right? That's great. We turned a page on the calendar. Yeah, good. But we're still the same people living in the same mess we were last week. Right? So like Psalm 90 says, 70 or 80 years of toil and trouble is about what we get. Happy New Year. Right? How many of you lean in a pessimistic direction about a new year? Just be honest. It's okay. No judgment here. All right, good. Psalm 90 speaks a word of challenge both to the optimist and to the pessimist. Psalm 90, I think, encourages us toward a healthy biblical realism about something like a new year. To the optimist, Psalm 90 says this, verse 8. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or if by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. To the overly optimistic person, Psalm 90 says, listen, it may be a new year, but it's not a new you. You're the same person you were a week ago, which means you're a person formed by the life you've already lived and the days that have already passed. You have particular sins, particular iniquities, which you bear the burden of. You have a particular story and particular struggles that have marked you. And so don't be the person who naively thinks that with a turn of a calendar, you can reinvent yourself. That's not quite realistic. Psalm 90 also speaks a word of challenge to the pessimist. To the overly pessimistic person, Psalm 90 says, verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. To the pessimist, Psalm 90 says, listen, what makes a year alive with newness and possibility is the everlasting consistency of God. There are generations of Christians who have gone before you who have hoped in God. And there will be generations after you who hope in the same God. And because God doesn't change, renewal really is possible. Fresh grace really is yours. You do not have to be the same person you were last year because, as the book of Lamentations reminds us, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning and they are new every year. So listen, friends. A new year lies before us. And though the newness of the year does not erase the past, it does mark a new moment. It marks the beginning of a new season in which to devote ourselves to the Lord. And that's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to devote ourselves to the Lord in a fresh way as we enter a new year. We are a church that believes soundly in the sovereign grace of God. If you've been around since October, you know that because we spent the month of October digging deeply into the grace of God, celebrating the truth that we are saved by grace, not works, that we are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, that we do nothing to earn our salvation. It is entirely the gift of a gracious God that is made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ and applied to us by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. So this is a church where we hold highly the grace of God. But listen, in our desire to hold highly the truth of sovereign grace, it's possible for us to mute the language of devotion in the Bible. The language of self-giving. The language of commitment. And I'll be honest, I think this is a mistake we have made at Coram Deo. I've been so concerned to proclaim salvation by grace and to work against all the legalism and all the performance that hides in our hearts that I haven't often proclaimed clearly the Scripture's call to devote yourself to the Lord and to His work. And these things go together, right? It's not like they're separate. Like, when we are moved and awed and captured by the grace of God to us in Christ, we long to be fully devoted to the Lord and to His purposes. If you don't long to pour out your life for the cause of Christ in the world, then you might not know very deeply the grace of God. These things are not exclusive. They go together. And it's possible for us to emphasize grace in salvation in a way that mutes the Bible's language of devotion, of self-giving, of commitment. And so this morning, as we launch into a new year, by the grace of God, I want to invite you to renew your devotion to the Lord. I want to invite you to start this year saying afresh to God, God, my life is yours. You could call it resolution if you want to, but I think the right word is renewal. To make new again. I want to invite you to renew your devotion to the God who has saved you. And I want to hone in this morning on two petitions in Psalm 90 that express that longing for renewal. Last week, we sort of walked through this entire psalm, and some of you may not have been here, that the sweep of the psalm goes like this. It starts out by reminding us of God's eternal nature, right? You heard that at the beginning. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth or ever you had formed the earth and the world, reminding us of the character and steadfast nature of God. Then the psalm goes on to speak about our transience, right? We are like grass that is renewed in the morning and then in the evening it fades and withers. We have 70 or 80 years and that's it on this earth. So in contrast to the eternal permanence of God, we're confronted with the transience and the temporariness of our lives. And then this psalm ends, the last sort of third of the psalm shifts to petition. It says, in light of who God is, and in light of who we are, here's what we're asking of the Lord. That last third of the psalm is where we're going to sort of dwell this morning, and I want to hone in on two petitions, two requests that we find in this psalm. The first one is Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. The focus of this petition in the psalm is renewing our purpose. Renewing our purpose. That's what this is asking for. That's what this is crying out for. God, help us renew our purpose. What does it mean, after all, to number our days? Well, it means to live life on purpose, right? It sort of means to begin with the end in mind. To number our days means embracing the truths of Scripture that we are like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We're like the flower of the field that's here one day and gone the next. We're like grass that grows up for a little while and then fades away. Notice the petition asks, teach us to number our days. In other words, numbering our days doesn't come naturally. It is learned. It requires intention. It requires reflection. It requires the grace of God. I had the privilege during my years in college of being discipled by a couple of very godly, wonderful older men. They were probably only 10 years ahead of me in life, so when I was a college student, these guys might have been in their late 20s, early 30s. But they were just devoted to the Lord, committed to His work, and wanted to pass that on to a younger generation. And so they discipled and invested in me during my years in college. And one of the ways that looked was a weekly Bible study at one of these guys' houses. My buddies from the dorm and I would go over there and we would study the Bible together. And I remember showing up 1 week for that Bible study, and he said, "Guys, get in the car. We're going on assignment this week for Bible study." And so we all piled in the car and we drove outside the town of Norman, Oklahoma, where I went to school, to a little cemetery. Sort of like any rural cemetery that you would find anywhere in the Midwest. You've all driven by them. Perhaps you have family members who are resting in a place like this, right? A little cemetery with a chain link fence around it with a few hundred grave sites and some old headstones. Some of them have been there for 100 years or more. So we drove out to this little cemetery and we got out and we went and sat down on the grass in the middle of this cemetery. And this man who discipled us said, "Guys, I want you to walk around this cemetery. I want you to pay attention to these headstones. There's something that's the same on every single one of them. Go figure out if you can figure out what it is." I came back 5 or 10 minutes later, racking my brain for what is it that's the same? Is it that they're all granite? I did not have an answer to the question. But thankfully, some of my friends did. He said, "Guys, you know what's the same on every headstone in this cemetery? They all have a dash. There's a date someone's life began, and there's a date their life ended, and their entire lifetime is summarized with a dash. That's what you're living right now. I know you're 18, 19, 20, you think you sort of got the whole world ahead of you. You've got a dash between two dates. What are you going to do with that time? What are you going to give yourself to?" What he was really doing was, in a very tangible way, discipling us in the truth of Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days. And so I want to ask you this morning the same question that he asked us. What are you going to give yourself to? What are you going to devote yourself to in life? And what are you going to give yourself to this year, 2018. The burden of the psalm, the invitation of the psalm, is to give yourself to the Lord and to His cause. That's what the psalmist wants. That's what the scriptures are inviting. Give yourself to the Lord and to His cause. Teach us to number our days. This petition is about renewing our purpose. Renewing our purpose for what it is we're giving ourselves to with our lives. Now, as I mentioned last week, you'll notice this psalm is attributed to Moses, which means God's people have been praying this psalm for 3,500 years. But listen, how much more reason do we have to renew our purpose in light of where we live in the story? Right, we live at a place in the story where we know that the mortality that this psalm speaks of has been conquered in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Death will no longer be master over us. Death has been defeated. So how much more reason do we have to renew our purpose to live for God and for His kingdom? We live at a place in the story where we know the wrath of God towards sin that plunges us under the curse of mortality has been turned away in Jesus Christ. And so now, our days are not passing away under His wrath, but our days are marked by His mercy and kindness to us in Christ. How much more reason do we have than even the original audience of this psalm to devote ourselves with renewed purpose, to say to the Lord, "Teach us to number our days. In light of what You've done for us in Christ and are doing in the world, teach us to number our days so we can have a heart of wisdom." So can I invite you this morning to a renewed sense of purpose? Can I invite you to cry out with the psalmist, "Teach us to number our days. God, help me give myself to things that matter." And in fact, can I invite you to go beyond that longing or that intention And can I invite you to decide to give yourself to particular practices this year? Here's what's funny to me about how most of us are built, right? Most of us ascribe intellectually and mentally and cognitively to certain things. Like you might hear this and you say, yes, I want to devote myself with renewed purposes to the Lord's work. But then it never moves beyond the abstract in our lives. And so we remain people who perpetually want to devote ourselves to the Lord's work. But you realize, right, that the only way that that purpose makes itself known is when we give ourselves to specific practices that make that a reality. Just like you can't have the intention of being a great basketball player unless you want to go shoot free throws. So intending, purposing that we want to be about God and His kingdom work is good, but it's even better for us to give ourselves then to particular practices. So I want to invite you to devoting yourself to two specific practices. In 2018, this year, re-engaging in a committed and disciplined way, two sets of practices. The first is just what we call spiritual disciplines. These are the things God's people have been doing for centuries to shape our souls. And I've listed four in particular here: Bible reading, prayer, solitude, and fasting. Here's what you need to understand. There is no one in the room who is just good at these things. Right? You only get, quote unquote, good at these things by giving yourself to them in an intentional way. I guarantee you there's no one who's just like, man, prayer is just like, it's never any work in my soul. Just automatically happens. The people in the room who really are faithful in prayer are that way because they've given themselves to that over a season of time, probably years and maybe decades. Right? So I want to invite you to give yourself to specific spiritual disciplines. The scriptures and prayer, because those are foundational to communion with God. Solitude and fasting, because I think those two are particularly needful in our current cultural moment. Some of you, along with me, fasted from social media or something similar in the month of December. And it's amazing to me how many people have told me how wonderful the month of December was for them merely because they shut off social media. Like how much more present they felt with the Lord, how much more engaged they felt in spiritual disciplines. I've had dozens of these conversations. It's not surprising, right? Like when we shut off all the noise, it allows space in our souls to rededicate ourselves to hearing the Lord. So, might we give ourselves in 2018 to the practice of spiritual disciplines? Here's the second practice, the practice of faithful presence. Here's what I mean by this. Just showing up. You realize that 90% of spiritual growth is just showing up, right? Like just being present. Where you are physically and mentally has an effect on your soul. When you show up on Sundays and worship with the people of God, when you show up on Sundays and serve and volunteer to teach some kids, when you show up at gospel community, even if it's lame and you're just there, guess what? God does things through that. Faithful presence matters. And here's what I'm telling you. In the grace and mercy of God, there's traction in your life just from showing up. I think we're so used to hearing that we have to contribute something important for our presence to be meaningful. And so we're always thinking like, well, I don't want to come if there's nothing really I can contribute. No. You just show up, God does things. So can I invite you to give yourself to practices of spiritual discipline and practices of faithful presence? The first petition we find in this psalm is, teach us to number our days. And the focus of that petition is renewing our purpose. Renewing our purpose. But now I want you to look with me at the second petition in this psalm. It's in verse 17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The focus of this petition is renewing our prayerfulness. Renewing our prayerfulness. Renewing our dependence on the Lord. If you will, this is a one-verse theology of work. You're made to create things, to build things, to establish things. God wants you to take dominion over the little slice of creation that He's entrusted to you, however big or small that is. Which means God wants His people to start companies, to launch nonprofits, to build buildings, to make art and music, to teach kids, to practice medicine, to contribute to culture. God has made us for meaningful work. But there are two ways to go about that work. One is the way of Nebuchadnezzar, who said in his pride, Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, "Is this not great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" That is all American self-advancement, only thousands of years ago. The other way to go about our work is the way of Isaiah 26, verse 12. "All that we have accomplished, you have done for us." That's the demeanor behind this verse in Psalm 90. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. God, would you make what we do meaningful? Would you give it substance? Would you make it last? And once again, friends, think about how much more reason we have to pray this prayer and to hope for these things. We who know, living on this side of the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ has secured God's favor for us. We who await the glorious return of Christ, who will bring a new heavens and a new earth. And by the way, that means that the things we give ourselves to now, which are done for His glory, will have lasting significance. Jesus is not coming to erase this world and start over. He is coming to fulfill this world and renew it. The things we give ourselves to now in His name and for His glory have lasting relevance and significance. When I read the Psalms as a Christian reader, I like to think of the Lord Jesus Christ as the ultimate prayer of each psalm, the one on whose lips this psalm has the most meaning. So think of Jesus Christ saying, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands." In fact, can you hear Jesus cry on the cross, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," as a rough echo of Psalm 90, verse 17? "Father, I've done the work I came here to do. Now I commit it to you. Make it meaningful. Make it substantive." The Father has answered Jesus' prayer, which means the mission of Jesus Christ in the world is the most lasting, most significant, most guaranteed thing we can give ourselves to. Can I invite you this morning to a renewed sense of prayerfulness? Would you cry out with the psalmist, "Establish the work of our hands"? And again, would you allow that longing then to take shape in practice? Notice that this is not an individual prayer, not "establish the work of my hands," but rather is a communal prayer, "establish the work of our hands." This is a prayer for the church. This is a prayer that's meant for us to pray it together. and with a specific focus on the mission of God through the church. So when we say to God, establish the work of our hands, what we're saying is, God, let your mission succeed. Let your church flourish. Let your kingdom advance in our city. Let people be gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let churches be planted. Let the kingdom of God come and his will be done on earth in Omaha, Nebraska, as it is in heaven. So let's pray this together in 2018. We're going to reboot as a church a specific discipline, a specific way of doing this, a specific practice that we've done in the past. And I want to remind you of it so that you can take advantage of it. It's called First Wednesday Worship and Prayer. It happens on the first Wednesday of the month starting in February. From 8 to 9 p.m. at the Burt Street Chapel. We just gather for an hour just to pray. And these kinds of prayers. God, establish the work of our hands. Let your kingdom advance in our city. That's the kind of things we want to get together and pray for. And so I know Wednesday night is not going to work for every single person in the room. But I want you to know that this is happening. And I want you to consider whether you can dedicate space on your calendar to gather together for the sake of renewing our prayerfulness together as a people. I hope you're praying these things for yourself and for our church. How much better for us to pray them than together in the same room. Psalm 90 cries out to God, teach us to number our days. Establish the work of our hands. God our Father has answered these requests in the Lord Jesus Christ, most significantly. So because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the days are in fact numbered. Acts 17:31 reminds us, God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. In other words, the calendar's already set. The days have been numbered. Additionally, God the Father has established the work of Jesus' hands. He's answered Jesus' prayer. He has said of Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Therefore, friends, confident in Jesus, we can enter a new year and a new season, joyfully renewing our devotion to the Lord. The favor of God is upon us in Jesus. He will establish the work of our hands. And so as we step into a new year, let's do it with renewed purpose and with renewed prayerfulness. I want to invite you in just a minute to join with me in praying these things from your own soul to the Lord. What do you need to give yourself to this year? What would it mean for you to cultivate a deeper prayerfulness in your soul? Let's give ourselves to the Lord in these ways. So I want to invite you to pray with me. And I'm going to ask you to do one of two things. Either to renew your devotion to the Lord and to his work. To say, yes, Lord, again, in a renewed way, I want to give myself to you and to your work. Or else, to just be honest with the Lord about what holds you back. So either renew your devotion to the Lord or be honest with God about what holds you back. Wherever you find yourself this morning, I think those two categories probably summarize where most of us are. So can I invite you just to a moment of silence and a moment of quiet in the room? Would you bow your head with me? And can I invite you then to pray in your own soul these petitions? God, teach me to number my days. Give me wisdom. Give me a clear sense of your purpose in my life and my story. And then then would you say to the Lord God, establish the work of our hands. So, Father, we pray these things together. In fact, I've been thinking over the last 24 hours about just the confluence of these two petitions. That when we think about what it means for us to number our days, Father, and when we think about what it means for us to ask you to establish the work of our hands, those two things together look like us as a church praying for our city to be different in 40 or 50 years because we were here. They look like us trusting you for generations of faithful disciples of Jesus to come through our church. They look like us asking the question, what do you want to use us to do in our particular circle of influence in this city for the cause of Jesus Christ? So, Father, would you renew our sense of purpose? We give ourselves to you as Coramdale Church. Would you renew our sense of dependence and prayerfulness upon you? God, establish the work of our hands this year. Establish the work of our hands throughout our lifetimes. Give us a full-hearted, worshipful, joyful devotion to your purposes. And Father, for those of us who aren't fully there, our hearts aren't fully aligned with your purposes, would you show us why? Would you invite us, beckon us to repentance where it's needed, to faith where it's needed, to hope where it's needed? And would you awaken in us the great joy of your Spirit that we might hope fully and deeply in you? Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen.